Look at Matthew chapter 17. We're going to look at two scriptures, Matthew chapter 17 and also Luke chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Title of the sermon is Knowing God Requires Faith on Our Part. Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, and then we'll go over to Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. In Matthew 17 and 14, when they had reached a crowd, a man approached and knelt down before Jesus. Lord, he said, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and he suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Jesus replied, you unbelieving and rebellious generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and from that moment the boy was healed. Then the disciples approached Jesus in private, and he said, why couldn't we drive the demon out? And Jesus answered, because of your little faith. He told them, for I assure you this, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, nor nothing will be impossible for you. However, Jesus says, this kind of faith only comes about by prayer and fasting. And then look over at Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Let us pray. Father God, we again thank you that we are in your presence this morning. Your Holy Spirit is here with us. We are worshiping you this morning in spirit and in truth. And Father, we have remembered what your Son did for us by partaking of the Lord's Supper. We have sang praises to your name, singing out these wonderful, wonderful musicians leading us. Father, we have given you our offerings, thanking you for supplying our needs. Father, we have been lifted up by this special music of Marie. And Father, we have been encouraged by the reading of your word. And Father, I would ask you that you speak to us now. Reveal yourself to us as you speak through the messenger, through this message you have before us. Father, may we know you. May we know you deeper and richer. May we be in your presence. But Father, may we also realize that we need faith. Faith that comes about by prayer and fasting and being in communion with you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a lot of what I'm going to be saying to you this morning was taken from Henry Blackaby's book, Experiencing God. But the last 2 weeks, I've been preaching on the subject of knowing God and knowing and doing God's will. It is my personal desire to know God more and more each day. I call God my God. I worship Him and Him alone. I have accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I have yielded my life and my will to following and serving Him. I have surrendered to the call of the pastorate. I want to know God more and more and more each day. I preach about the Almighty God of creation, Yahweh, Jehovah. I teach that Jesus Christ, He was the one that was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago. He was the one who performed miracles while walking on the earth. He was the one who was crucified and died as that supreme sacrifice for my sins and your sins and the sins of mankind. He is the one who rose up out of that tomb alive. He is the one who was waiting to come back to the earth to claim His body of believers, the church, His bride, to reign in heaven and on earth with Him for all eternity. That is the God that we worship this morning. Amen. It gets even better than that. I have the Holy Spirit of God residing in me, that third person of the divine Trinity. He is with me every single day of my life, daily living within me, directing my paths. This is the God that I worship and serve. And should it be of no coincidence that I want to know Him more and more in a deeper way. It is also my desire as your pastor for each one of you to know God more and more. It should be your uttermost desire to know this God that you call your God. This morning, if you are here and you are not saved, it should be your desire to know God. For no one knows the hour that you will stand before him in judgment for all eternity. If you are here and you are saved this morning, it should be your desire to know God more, and not only that, but to know what his purpose and his perfect will is for your life. How then do we do all of that, Pastor? I've shared with you in the last 2 weeks that we know God more and more as he reveals himself to us. God reveals himself to us when we read his word. I hope you're reading the word of God. This month as a church, we're going to be reading 4 different books. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Lamentations, and Malachi. Now don't get excited. Those are short books. There's 31 days in March, and there's less than 31 chapters in all 4 of them. You can do this one chapter a day. Why do I insist on that and encourage you? Because that's how God reveals himself to you when you are in his word. God also reveals himself to us when we are in communication with him through prayer. Got to be in communication with the Lord. And not just saying, well, God, I need this, and God, you got to do that, and God, I need you for this. Take the time to just say, God, I want to listen to you for a moment. God, speak to me. Reveal yourself to me as I sit here, and I'm still, and I'm knowing who you are. And thirdly, God reveals himself to us when he demonstrates his mighty power in our lives. I like to refer to those times as God moments. In each of those cases, we grow in our knowledge of who God is, but none of that can happen without faith on our part. Encounters with God require faith. All throughout the scriptures, when God revealed himself, his purposes, and his ways, the response to him required faith on the part of who he was speaking to. When God speaks to you, and when God speaks to me, when God speaks to this church, all of us are in response to saying this. It requires faith to hear what God has to say. It requires faith to know who this God is. But here's a good point. God is interested in you and I. God wants us to walk with him by faith. Look at these scripture verses with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, for it is our ancestors, or for by it our ancestors were approved. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus said in John 14, 12, I assure you, the one who believes in me by faith will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Jesus also said in Matthew 17, 20, for I assure you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will move, for nothing will be impossible for you. Paul proclaimed in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, my speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Amen. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 7, 9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. Father, God, give us that faith. People, do we understand to know God deeper and deeper? It's going to require faith. For faith is confidence. Confidence that what God has promised or said will come to pass. Sight, on the other hand, is the opposite of faith. For if you can see clearly how something can be accomplished, more than likely faith is not going to be required. Your faith does not rest in a concept or an idea. Our faith must rest in a person, and that person is God himself. Amen. For in order to have real faith, we must place our trust in God and God alone. You know, if I or someone else decides something would be nice to have happen, or we would like to accomplish this, and then if we would just lead the people, hey, to believe it and have faith in us, that puts us in a very dangerous position. For true faith is only valid when it's in God and what he says he is purposing to do. For you see, it's one thing to expect that to happen, If it's from us, it's from us. But if it's from God, we don't know. We are saying, God, I am going to put my whole dependence on you because you said you can do this. I know you can do it. I believe you can do it. And what you said you will do, I have faith enough to know that you can do what you say. Amen. Jesus said to have faith of a mustard seed, because with a mustard size faith in God, Jesus said this, not me, with a mustard size faith in God, nothing will be impossible. Jesus even declared to his followers that they would do greater things than he did if they would just have simple faith. Can I remind you of something? He was not just talking to his 12 disciples. He was talking to us in 2017. If we would just say, listen, I have faith the size of a mustard seed, God. Nothing is impossible. You can do whatever you want. I believe that by faith. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, by that kind of faith, you'll do better things and bigger things than I ever did. Because Jesus said, that's the faith that's required. Two things we must remember as solid foundations. Our faith must be based on God's power and not on human wisdom. And secondly, without firm faith, we will stumble and we will fall. And so therefore, our faith should be measured as something only God can do. Moses could never have delivered the Hebrew people out of Israel or out of Egypt, crossing that Red Sea, fleeing Pharaoh's army, providing water from a rock, or furnishing bread and meat to the 600,000 or more people without a true, deep faith in God. Moses had to have a strong faith in God to do the impossible. He had to have that faith that God had called him to do these wonderful, marvelous things. Joshua, too, could not have taken those same Hebrews across the Jordan River on dry ground. He could not have brought those walls of Jericho down. He could not have defeated all those enemies. He could not have made the sun to stand still without a faith in God. For only God could have done those things. The same is true in the New Testament. On their own, these 12 disciples and early followers of Jesus could not have fed the multitudes. They could not have been involved in the healing of the sick or stilling a storm or raising those from the dead or witnessing, listen to this, 3,000 people being saved in one setting. They couldn't have been able to go on 3 missionary journeys and carry the gospel all over the Middle East and Asia Minor and into Italy and Spain and modern-day Europe without a strong faith in God. Amen. Only God could use ordinary men like Moses and Joshua and Peter and Stephen and Paul and many others to do these extraordinary things. But then that's God. He calls servants from ordinary people like us to let God do those kind of things through us. That's God. And all it requires on our part is have the faith the size of a mustard seed. You want to see some great things happen? Have that faith. But doing the work of the Lord does require that undivided faith. But the good thing is this, it is available to all who really want it, even in 2017. And the question becomes, do I believe that? Do I really believe that faith like that is available? Do I really, really believe it? Church, do you really believe that? If so, we ought to all shout hallelujah and amen. And then we ought to ask the Lord to grant this kind of faith to us so that we can move mountains for His glory. Amen. You want to know God more? It requires faith. You want to do more for the Lord? It requires faith. You want to do the will of God? It requires faith. You want to grow Grace Baptist Church? It's going to require faith. You want to build the kingdom of God? It's going to require faith. You want to share the gospel all over Portage and Hobart and Lake Station and Valparaiso and all over this area? It's going to require faith. Amen. Students, you want to go carry the gospel to Nashville, Tennessee? It's going to require faith. Church, you want to deliver the gospel to Ecuador and all other countries around the world? It's going to require faith. But it only requires a faith, Jesus says, the size of a mustard seed. The size of a little tiny mustard seed. So very little. But yet when it's genuine and only resting in God Almighty, it can be doing great and mighty things. When God lets you know what He wants to do through you, or I, or this church, it will be something that only God can do. Amen? I can't grow the church. You can't grow the church, but God can. And what is one of our prayers that we pray here all the time? God, send us people we don't even know so they can hear the gospel message and get saved and baptized and join the church and help us build your kingdom. That's what faith is all about. And I look out in this audience, and I have for the last 14 years, a lot of you people, I didn't know who you were, but God did. And when we prayed that prayer, God, send us people we don't even know. And you show up, and we say, wow, this is kind of amazing, Pastor. No, it's not. We prayed for that, right? And we prayed with simple-mindedness, faith, to say, God, send us people we don't even know. Well, how are they going to get here? I don't know. But God does. And God knows who you are, and God knows everyone. And when God says, hey, this is what I want you to do, it will be something that only God can do. God says, I want you to grow. I want you to lead out in a Bible study. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I can't do that, God. Yes, you can. But it's going to require faith. But what you believe about Him, what you believe about that God that you call God, what you believe about knowing God deeper and deeper and more intimately, what you believe about God will determine what you do in response to His calling. If you have faith in the God who called you, I believe this. I will believe that you will obey Him without hesitation. And when you do that, God and God alone will bring to pass what He has purposed to do through you. Do you believe that? Each person, I believe this, each person has something to do for the Lord. And God has called each person for a specific task. We can't all stand up here and preach, amen? But God has called everyone for a specific task. Each person needs to be on their knees and face before God. God, what have you called me to do? And here's what it's not. It is not, well, I have this talent and I have this gift and I can do that better than I can do that. That's not what faith is. If you see, now you're living by sight. Faith is, God, what do you want me to do? And when God says, I want you to do this, and when your mind starts saying, I have never done that before, and I don't think I can do that, that's when the faith kicks in and says, God, I've never done that before, I don't know if I can do that, but with my faith, you can do that through me. That's when you know you have faith in God. That's when you know God, and you are obeying Him without hesitation. And that's when you know that if God is in it, He will bring to pass what He has called you to do. Amen? But if you lack faith, you'll end up not doing what God wants. You'll end up picking what you may want to do. But that's what we call disobedience. You'll remember a few weeks ago, we had on our board here, remember this, partial obedience is still disobedience. If God has called you specifically to do this, and you compromise and say, well, God, I'm not going to do that, even though you've called me, but I will do this for your work, partial obedience, and that equates into disobedience. And I believe this, I will believe you will miss out on a lot of blessings that God has for your life when you're living in disobedience. Oh, you're doing good things. Oh, you love the Lord, and oh, you're working in the church. That's great, but true, strong faith says, I will do whatever God's called me to do, even though I know I may not be able to do it because I've never done it before. And that's when we yield ourselves to God. We say, God, here I am. I'll do this because you have called me to do it. Too many times people get trapped. What Jesus was talking about there in Luke chapter 6. Several people were following close with Jesus. And he must have had this thought process because he asked this question, why are you calling me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things that I have commanded you. Apparently, Jesus may have been upset at the lack of faith that some of his close followers were demonstrating. Oh, they had been with Jesus. They had heard his teachings. They even saw his work with their own eyes. Yet they lacked the faith to do all that he asked of them. And as a result, Jesus frequently rebuked his disciples and their lack of faith and their unbelief, for their unbelief revealed that they really had not come to know Jesus after all, and that they did not know him, Jesus couldn't work through him. You know, we all say, yeah, I know Christ. I know God. I know all of that. But yet, if we are not doing the things that he has commanded us to do, Jesus asked the question, why are you then calling me Lord? Folks, I wonder this morning if there's some here that maybe the lack of faith or unbelief, your own lack of faith and your own unbelief is standing in the way of you really knowing God in a deep way. Is your lack of knowledge of God hindering what God can do through you this morning? Secondly, obedience to God shows our faith. We know that faith was required of Moses and Joshua and the disciples, Peter and Paul. Faith was required for men like Charles Spurgeon or Jonathan Edwards, Dwight L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, Adrian Rogers, Tony Evans. We know that faith is required from people like Miss Roberta or Cliff Birch or Judy McCool or Dave Riley or Tiffany Wollison or others in the church. We know that faith is there, and we know that obedience shows our faith. For when God calls a person to join him in a God-sized task, faith will always be one of those requirements. And it's our obedience to and in God that will indicate where our faith lies with him. And it is our disobedience, conversely, that often indicates our lack of faith as well. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 wrote these words, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that will reward those who seek him." Without faith, I cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, this church cannot please God. Without faith, we are nothing more than a club that meets on Sunday mornings. Amen? But I want to be more than that. Amen? I want us to be a people group that knows God because of our faith. And because of our faith and obedience in him, I want God to use us to accomplish much for his purpose and his kingdom. Amen? Now, I know life is tough. This past week, some of you have called us with serious issues. One is losing a job. One received some bad news regarding health. One had to buy tires for a car. Some had trouble in your family. Some have a heartbreak of having grandchildren in jail. These things we go through are just things of life. I know it exists. But for buying tires for a car, these things are nothing new to those people in the New Testament and the Old Testament. These Bible characters that we talk about, Moses and Joshua and Peter and Paul and Stephen and all the rest, they face the same crises that we face. But the encouraging words is this: regardless of our current situation, when God speaks to us, what he asks of us requires a deep faith on our part. A faith that says, I know God well enough to know he can do all things. And I know God well enough to know when Jesus says, all you need is a grain of a mustard seed-sized faith, you can do anything, for nothing will be impossible. So God, whatever you're asking of me, I want that faith. Where we get into trouble is our self-centeredness. Where we get into trouble is we start thinking we have to accomplish the assignment on our own power or with our current resources. We start thinking with our minds and we convince ourselves, I cannot do that. Or God, that's impossible. But we forget this: faith doesn't come from our finite minds. It comes from our heart. Amen. The same heart that has the Holy Spirit of God residing in. The same faith that saved us is that same faith to say, I can do whatever God says, no matter what the task. Amen? How do I get that faith? It comes with our increase of knowledge of God. An increase of knowledge of God as he reveals himself to us through his word and through our prayers. We need not forget that when God speaks, He always reveals what He is going to do. Listen to that. When God speaks, He reveals what He is going to do, not what He wants us to do for Him. Amen? We're just merely His instruments. God says, here's the task. Here's what I'm going to do. And guess what? I'm going to use you to do it. For we are the ones who join with Him so that He can do the work through us. We do not have to be able to accomplish the task with our limited abilities or limited resources because we have faith. And because of our faith, we can proceed with confidence because we know that God is going to bring to pass everything that He purposes to do. Amen? I want to read a passage of this book. For 14 years, Lynn and Ruth had pastored small churches. Lynn was so committed to the Lord that he worked as a service station attendant for 14 years in order to pastor bivocationally. Without a part-time pastor, these churches would have no pastor at all in that area. In that time, Lynn and Ruth had saved $7,000, hoping that one day they would have enough money to buy their own home. When Lynn felt absolutely convinced that he ought to help start more churches, I said, Lynn, we don't have any more money to move you, and we don't have any more money to pay you. Lynn said to me, he said, Henry, the God who has called me will help me. We will take the money from our savings, that's $7,000, and we will move. Later, Lynn came into my office and he said, Henry, my wife and I prayed and talked all night. I have worked bivocationally for 14 years. I have no problem of working to provide for my family, but the need here is so great, and the direction of God is such that I feel I need to be full-time in the ministry. My wife and I realized last night that the money we have in our bank account, it belongs to God, and He wants us to use that to live off of. When we had finished that conversation, I started thinking to myself. But then Henry said these words. He said, when we deplete the money from our savings account, God will show us how to live. So Henry, I don't want you to worry about coming up with more support. When Lynn went out of that room, I fell on my face. I wept and I wept before the Father, and I said, Father, I don't understand why such a faithful couple should have to make this kind of a sacrifice. I saw in Lynn and Ruth a great faith that became demonstrated by their actions. 2 days later, I received a letter from a Presbyterian layman in British Columbia. It was a very short letter that simply said, quote, I understand a man by the name of Lynn Koster has come to work with you. God has laid it on my heart that I am to help support his ministry. Enclosed, you will find a check for $7,000 to be used for his support. When I opened that letter, I went back on my knees and I wept before the Father. This time I asked God to forgive me for not trusting in him when he told me I should. I called Lynn and I said, Lynn, you have placed your life savings on the altar of sacrifice, but God has something else in the bushes. The God who says, I am your provider, has just provided. And then I told him what was in that letter. Do you know that what he did next? Do you know what it did to our church's life? Do you know what that did for Lynn's life? We all grew in our faith to believe in this God that we preach about. After all, we stepped out in faith to do things time and time again. And now we had sat back and watched God do a wonderful thing. We never could have come to experience God that way had we not have stepped out in faith and called Lynn here in the first place. For that experience helped us to learn how to trust God more in a deeper way. The wonderful words of Jesus that are written in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Looking at them, Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God, because all things are possible with God. The scripture bears witness that this is true. Knowing God in a deep, intimate way requires faith. The same faith, when a person first receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it requires faith. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast." We come to Christ by faith. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him by faith should not perish, but it will have everlasting life." Being saved requires faith. Knowing God for the first time requires faith. Knowing God deeper requires faith. But with the faith of a mustard seed, you can know God more, and you can have him do great and mighty things through you. This morning, can we have that same thought process that the disciples had? There in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, they said to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we